You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Hey, we're live, everybody. Hope everyone enjoyed the fight tonight. The fourth of five straight events at the UFC Apex in Las Vegas, and Alex K. Lee, it was so close to the camera. How about that? But that's just the excitement of the post-fight show.
Calm down, Alex. Curtis. Calm down, AK. Jeez.
Large and in charge.
We love the excitement. But Curtis Blaydes, end of the night with a big win. Pretty dominant win over Alexander Volkov. Things got very interesting towards the end, but we're going to talk all about it because this is the UFC on ESPN 11 post-fight show live on the MMAfighting.com YouTube page. I am Mike Keck. That is Alex K. Lee. That right over there, E. Casey Lydon. Let's get right into this thing. Of course, since you guys and gals are hanging out with us, we want to hear from you as well. So if you have questions, thoughts on the event, matchmaking ideas, fire them out there. We'll get to as many as we can in a little while. But first, AK, it's funny how we look at these cards on paper, right? Like last weekend's event, not a ton of excitement heading into it, but it delivered in a big way in the cage. This week, a lot of hype surrounding it. What's your overall letter grade for UFC Vegas 3?
Okay, well, first of all, I'm going to give it a lower grade than I gave last week, which I think I gave either a B or a strong B or a B plus. I'm actually going to go B minus this time. But I do feel like the quality of the matchups was better. I mean, I think anyone just looking at the card on paper could tell you that. So, no, we didn't get that kind of cool flurry of quick finishes that we got to open up last week's card. But there's a reason for that. These were higher caliber fighters. And when you I think the matchmaking actually did a good job. The minus is really more for the pacing of the event. I don't know why after a decision. I understand if there's a knockout, you gotta fill time. You gotta feed the bulldog. This is a business. I totally understand. After a decision, which we had several on the main card, man, you don't gotta wait 20 minutes between fights. This is crazy. Our show could have been on friggin' 45 minutes ago.
What was your favorite commercial that you saw 30 times?
Just watch me now.
Wow, that was really good. That was super impressive.
It's burned my brain now, so sorry to everyone else now who now has that in their head.
I was watching on ESPN Plus. I can't believe they did a throwback SportsCenter commercial with Peyton and Eli Manning. Peyton was wearing a Colts t-shirt, by the way. An Indianapolis Colts t-shirt. Not even the team he ended his career with. So this is like, what are you filling time with at this point? But I totally agree with you there. Casey, what say you? What's your grade?
The big commercial breaks really kind of... This was a weird fight night for me because normally, during all fight cards, I'm actually working. And for the first time in, honestly, years, I actually just sat down and watched fights without really typing or doing videos. So... those commercials, yeah, it's hard to grade it because I just felt like, you know. But, yeah, solid B. Great. It was for a fight night card, an A-level, A-minus fight card, B-plus, A-minus fight card on paper, B in reality.
Yeah, I'm good B-minus. With the B. And to Alex's point, the prelims, it was like a tornado. It was like one fight after another. We couldn't even, like, even if there was a finish, we got right into the next one. And there were some great fights, some wild finishes. Pacing in the prelims was tremendous. Then the main card, and man, did things slow down. The fights were very good. We'll get into some of those, and we'll do that right now. Starting with the main event, Curtis Blaydes gets another big victory. He's won four in a row, had about 7,000 takedowns over Alexander Volkov. Both guys got pretty tired down the stretch, but in the end, Curtis Blaydes gets a big win. And a big fight coming up. So what did you think of Curtis Razor Blaydes' performance, AK Lee, in the main event tonight?
I mean, look, it's a good win. It's a good win against a good opponent. It doesn't tell us anything new about Curtis Blaydes, unfortunately. Blaydes himself said, look, with his tweet that's recirculated tonight, of course, we put it on the account that you're saying, look, this is going to be 25 minutes of me holding this guy down. I'm not going to stand and bang with him. Volkov's a good striker. He has a lot of respect for it. So, and we knew... Blaydes could wrestle. I don't know if some people thought Volkov would be like a good test for that, but Volkov has never faced a wrestler of Blaydes on Blaydes' level. So for me, that was not surprising at all to see Blaydes control the fight that way. And unfortunately, I believe this is his first five-round fight, at least in the UFC. His first time going five rounds, period. He did the JDS was a five-round fight. It went and ended in the second. So his first time going 25 minutes ever in his career. And he didn't look like a champion by the end. He looked like, he wanted to vomit. He was wobbly during his post-fight interview. He won the fight for sure. But if you're trying to sell yourself as someone like, I'm going to give you five excellent rounds, if you put me in there with Stipe, you put me in there with Cormier, man, there's just got to be some hesitancy on the part of Dana White and the matchmakers.
Casey, you know, what did you think of Curtis Blaydes' performance? I think AK makes a pretty good point. Like, we didn't learn anything new here. And when you're in a position like Curtis Blaydes, where you got a heavyweight title fight coming up, you got a guy that's ahead of you that's already finished you twice, you probably want to go out there and just have this completely outstanding performance to sort of separate yourself, or at least, you know, make sure that you're in that conversation once things sort of play themselves out. Did Curtis Blaydes' stock improve a lot tonight, or just a tiny bit, or not at all?
It improved a tiny bit. I disagree when you say we didn't learn anything. I think we learned that Curtis Blaydes isn't built for five rounds. I mean, he lost those last two rounds on two judges' scorecards. I believe, is that correct?
It would have to be, yeah, because yes. I assume one of, there was 10-8 in there somewhere, but it looks like someone had to, the two rounds had to be given to Volkov.
Yeah, so two judges, he lost the last two rounds on it. So clearly, you know, right now, he isn't a five-round fighter. He's trained for five-round fights. This is his first time he's actually had to do it. So there are some issues on that. As far as his actual fighting style or, you know, his, yeah, I mean, that's Curtis Blaydes. We were kind of hoping in that second round when he came out and didn't go for the takedown, okay, this was the game plan. No, tire him out the first round, and then whoop up on Volkov, get that cool knockout, give me my title shot. But it just turned out him standing up, you know, was kind of a, it was false hope. And then he actually went, but he stuck true to his tweet he sent out yesterday about, I'm just going to ragdoll this guy for 25 minutes, or at least attempt to ragdoll him for 25 minutes.
Yeah, my older brother, who is a casual MMA fan at best, texted me. He goes, this Russian dude is about to get his ass kicked, right? That was the text he sent me at the beginning of the fight. I was like, well, he's probably going to get taken out a whole bunch of times, and then we'll see what happens from there. But we have some breaking news for those watching right now. The bonuses are out. Performance bonuses goes to Justin, or as they said in the broadcast, Jesse Janes.
The road dog, Jesse Janes, yeah.
So the rookie gets a bonus, and the Wiley veteran, future Hall of Famer Jim Miller gets a performance bonus. And the most shocking revelation of the night was the fight of the night went to Josh Emmett and Shane Burgos. I mean, I don't know what they were thinking about there, but holy crap, yeah. What a great fight that is. Perfect segue, because what else needs to be said besides fight of the night? That thing was ridiculous. So kudos to both Josh Emmett and Shane Burgos. I mean, holy potatoes. I'm still clapping. What a freaking fight that was. Josh Emmett has a massive third round on one leg. He drops Shane Burgos twice and gets the win. Casey, talk about as advertised, right?
Oh, yes. You know what? I saw a lot of people saying this should have been the main event. I don't want fighters hurt. And I felt if this one had gone five rounds, it would have been like some serious brain damage for both these gentlemen. So I think the way these guys were hitting each other, 15 minutes was actually perfect. But yeah, has advertised. Actually, Emmett just, that was the Emmett that we've seen now. And he'll take a beating, and maybe Jeremy Stevens, maybe? That just one punch, holy crap, that is very scary. And man, that first round, God dang, does Burgos have one of the best poker faces. He couldn't keep it up for the whole fight, but he was just eating monster shots that shouldn't have put him down. And it was just like, whoop, just messed up his hair, and he kept going. And Burgos was mixing up his attacks, you know, from the head to doing a lot of leg attacks, which looked great. And I thought those were going to really pay off as the fight went on, but it turned out it didn't as much as I think Burgos wanted to. But great fight by Emmett. Great fight. Just great.
It was even a little more frightening talking about Burgos' chin was when he was dropped the first time, he was smiling. Like, he was literally smiling as Josh Emmett was jumping down upon him.
I had to see the replay. What a savage. I had to see the replay because I thought, because he was smiling, I thought, oh, maybe it was a slip or something. Because the original angle in the broadcast, you know, it was kind of to their back, so you weren't 100%, but then they showed the replay. No, he got hit, and then he smiled. What a weirdo. I love the guy.
Yeah, that was pretty good, Josh. AK, as everybody knows, you are a wizard with your words. So can you articulate your thoughts here into how this fight played out tonight?
Look, I picked Emmett to win, but I also picked him to win by knockout because, you know, you do a little bit of research on these guys. You see that Burgos, good technical fighter, but as you guys said, he's almost happy to get hit. He was kind of like that with the Amir Khani fight as well. He got hit, and he's like, yeah, okay, good. This is what I want. I want to get hit. Wake me up. So I thought Emma would win, but I thought he was being able to knock him out. I could not believe how many shots Burgos was taking. And I guess that's why he's okay with getting hit, because if you got a chin like that, it wasn't until the third round when we finally saw – he finally looked human and it was actually put on his back a couple of times. So, boy, I was very impressed by Emmett. But also, it's one of those fights where I really feel like Burgos did not lose much. And if you're high on Burgos as a prospect, you should not watch this fight and be like, oh, well, no, he was exposed. Nothing was exposed. I mean, he looks like a future world title contender still, as does Emmett, again, who I thought did a really good job with a guy who might be a better technical striker than him. He made a joke after about how people were saying it's precision versus power, and power won. But I think Emmett's got a lot of technique, too, and I think he showed that in addition to, man, that just – like he said, that one of a kind, almost like only him and Jeremy Stephens, that kind of power at 145 pounds.
Pretty interesting post-fight interview with John Anik afterwards, because apparently Emmett's not too happy with the media. I don't really understand why, honestly. Like, I honestly don't know any media member who flat out disrespected Josh Emmett and counted him out of the fight at all. Like, but if they did, they're certainly not anymore, right?
I picked him. Josh, if you're listening, if you see, I picked you, buddy. I gave you so much respect, and you should see the stuff I got from the commenters on our website. I look like a fool. I look like a fool backing you up in the eyes of these internet trolls. And I took this damage for you, Josh. So, Josh, I hope you appreciate that. Unlike I guess the rest of this media, I'm not sure. You know, I can't speak for all my peers, but I definitely picked you, and I don't want to be lumped in with all the people that were involved in that post fight call out.
Was he specific? Like, what do you mean? Like, just in general, just don't media just didn't pick me enough. But what was his beef?
He just wants a little more coverage. I think there was odds wise, I believe Burgos was the favorite. So there's always that aspect of it, and I think Burgos. I don't know if he's been doing the media rounds more. I'm not sure. I did not see him more.
So.
No, I did not see that. That might be how Emmett perceived it for whatever reason. But he just seems to think he's not getting enough coverage and not being viewed as a serious contender. I think he thinks that people thought Burgos was going to – this was a step-up fight for Burgos and not for him. But, you know, maybe he's one of those guys. Just needs a chip on his shoulder, have that Michael Jordan mentality. And whatever it was, it paid off tonight.
Yeah, one thing he said – In like kind of following up on that, he's like, everyone said it was technique versus power, power won. So like, I mean, I don't think anybody was wrong in saying that. Like Burgos was, I think Burgos was like a -160 favorite heading into that fight, a slight favorite, but I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I thought the odds makers got it right. I feel that even after tonight, like Burgos may have lost, but I think Burgos is the more complete fighter overall. Maybe, I mean, he didn't win, but Emmett proved that.
Yeah.
He can change the course of a fight very, very quickly.
Josh, are you hearing this? Josh?
Oh.
Hey, Josh, if you're out there, Mike Heck just said, Shane Burgos is a more complete fighter than you. He is questioning your well-rounded. He's questioning your wrestling. He's questioning your jits. He might even be questioning your boxing. I'm not sure.
No,
but I'm just saying,
never.
That is a – let's clip that later. Truck, can we – oh, sorry, the truck's with us. But let's clip – I want to clip that.
He said it himself. Power won.
Yeah.
Power definitely won. It was a great fight. And the fact that he might have done it on, like, a torn ACL or something is even crazier. I have so much respect for that guy.
I think AK hit it. He's just one of those guys that he just needs that chip. He needs to – you know, you see every championship fight and every guy and both fighters will say what they will say – I'm the underdog, but I always fight better when I'm the underdog. I was like, wait, how are you both the underdog? You know, it's like, no one ever believed in me. He's like, what are you talking about? You gotta, you know? So I think this is just one of those things that he needs motivation for. Because, you know, just, I don't know. It's just, fighters are weird. I was just like, they fight really tough. They do some crazy things in that cage, but this is weird. That's what I'm going to give it to.
And by the way, I think the small cage benefited Emmett a lot. I know,
yes.
I know Mr. Dana White is going to say it didn't make a difference, but that was a huge thing in me picking my fight. I think again, Burgos is just a little bit faster and, again, would have a little bit easier time of avoiding that power of Emmett with an extra, what is it, 5 feet or something,
it's
all around?
It's significant, yeah.
Yeah, to work with. It really is significant. And
when
a guy
just,
like
when
Emmett,
they start the round off with that wide shot and you see both fighters and then you kind of go back in your memories – how that wide shot is when they do a pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. You're like, whoa, those guys are close.
Yeah, it's like two step, you know, Emmett, it's like two steps in, you're in the range of my power, right? Yeah. So it makes a difference. Sorry, Dana White.
How'd you score that fight, Alex?
I had it. God, how did I score? I mean, obviously 29-28, last round for Emmett, clearly. I think I also gave Emmett the, I think I went second and third. I think I thought Emmett started picking it up in the second round. So I think I went second and third. I wasn't really actively scoring in my mind at the time.
I thought Burgos clearly won the second round.
Okay.
First round was the point. Both rounds are super close. They were super close.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely Emmett with the third round, so.
I think the line is like, did Emmett have a 10-8 in the third? I believe he didn't have a 10-8. I know Mike thinks he has a 10-8. I think a judge gave him a 10-8. I mean, obviously it's possible. And I think the first round is, I think Burgos has such a good poker face from taking those big shots, but really, like, it looked like they were just like, well, whatever. And he just kept attacking his legs. And, you know, so, but I think once I realized that knee issue that Emmett had was pretty much on his own. It was like a non-contact thing, wasn't it? Like, it wasn't off a kick or anything.
It was weird.
Yeah. So I think I watched, wait, was that from a kick? So I thought maybe there was some damage involved, but no, it was just a non-contact injury. I know you didn't ask me yet, but I gave Emmett the first round and Burgos the second round, and then a 10-9 for Emmett in round three. I thought the Craig person won.
I have no argument with that. I didn't score a draw, but I was thinking it might have been a draw. Because, I mean, one knockdown is one thing, but when you get dropped twice, the second one was like a legit, like,
No smiling from Burgos that time.
Yeah, there was no smile on the second one. But, you know, hats off to both guys. What an incredible fight that was. Listen, that's going to be in the conversation.
Our own Jose Youngs will riot. We'll scream if he hears me say that this fight was anywhere near Zhang and Jacek. But it's a great fight. It's at least in the top five. I'm not saying it's better than Zhang Jacek, but it is up there. Let's at least have a conversation, please.
Yeah, it could be a nominee. It's not going to win, but it could be a very strong nominee. If we're talking like best male three round fight, it's very much up there.
An empty arena, yeah.
Empty. Yeah.
It was great. It was a good fight. It was a very good fight. Very good fight.
I think Jeremy beats Josh again in the rematch.
Hey, I'd like to see it at some point.
Not soon.
I think Josh is moving past that at this point. But
really?
I would say so. I'd say
he's probably already ahead of Stevenson.
Who did Stevens just lose to recently? He lost Cater. So he lost to a top 10 fighter. Weren't both these guys unranked?
Mm-hmm. Emmett was 8. No, Emmett was 8. Fergus was 10.
Yeah.
Oh, they were? Okay. Right, I thought they were like outside the top 10.
Yeah.
So naturally, the progression is...
Storyline sells.
He's just ahead of Stevens. Stevens is ninth, so he's literally one spot ahead of Stevens.
Yeah, so Burgos versus Stevens sounds like the fight to me.
Ah, yes.
And we'll give a little teaser here. Emmett's got to get the winner of Cater and Ige. Like, it has to be, depending on how bad his knee is hurt.
Because nothing else makes sense. On to the next one teaser?
Yeah, this one's too easy, though. Like, nothing else makes sense.
So clearly, both those guys are ducking Ryan Hall.
Oh, everyone is. Ryan Hall's not fighting anybody right now. He's made that perfectly clear. Until he can train in his gym and things open up and he's good to go, he's not fighting anybody right now.
He's being, the merciful Ryan Hall. Yes,
he's letting the featherweight division play out a little bit before he gets back in there.
They don't have to worry about him lurking at any moment to take their spot. That's very kind of him.
The gentleman, Ryan Hall. All right.
The nice guy. Had a nice win for Raquel Pennington tonight. I thought she looked really good, picking up a win over the. I had no idea Marion Renault was 43 years old. No clue.
Whoa.
43 years young today. Young. All right.
That's right.
This was her birthday today. 43 years young to go three rounds in a UFC fight against a previous world title challenger, Raquel Pennington, and she had her moments too. This wasn't like a domination by Raquel Pennington, by the way. I mean, Pennington had a convincing win, but Renault certainly had her moments. She's in ridiculous shape. Is super tough, and again, 43 years old. God bless her. What a fighter, eh? What an athlete.
I'm just looking at our Slack channel real quick. Apparently, Dana White is ripping. He said, "We got a message. Dana crushing blades." I don't know if that's
in the YouTube comments.
He's my favorite fighter, or
yeah, or maybe meant crushing like you know what. Curtis Blade, he is a cutie pie.
Valentine's Day.
Crushing on him.
Yeah, crushing on him. Yeah.
I'll, Our buddy Aaron Bronstetter, he said that he's got some quotes. He said, Blade said, I don't have anything against the kid, but when you talk, can I swear on this? When you talk S like he talked this week, you'd better come in and whoop someone's ass. So that's just part of it. I don't know. That might not be the super mean part.
All right. But anyways, we'll probably get more from that conversation. It was nice to see Raquel and her fiance Tisha Torres get wins on the same card. I thought Tisha looked great. Brianna Van Buren's going to take this one and go back to the drawing board, and she'll get better because of this. Bilal Muhammad gets a big one over Lyman Good. I thought Bilal looked awesome. Movement was great. Volume was great. Fight IQ was on point. Big win for Remember the Name. And then he goes on with sunglasses intact to talk to John Anik, and he calls out Santiago Ponzinibbio, said something to the effect of, you haven't fought for like 25 years. How are you still in the rankings? Which he isn't in the rankings, looking back at it. He's not in there at all. But I like to call it nonetheless, AK. Is this the fight to make?
First of all, I will say the glasses, normally glasses indoors, I would say is a no-no. I think it's embarrassing to do. But this guy has just been in a fight. His eyes are probably swelling up. He had a nasty cut from a headbutt that happened in the fight. So I'm like, Bilal, you've earned wearing sunglasses indoors and on an international, nationally televised interview. So well done, sir. I think that is a good, I don't know if it's the fight to make. It is a very good call out. Very, very smart call. I think I saw someone suggest, I won't take credit for this, Neil Magny, you know, who just fought recently and picked up a win.
That would be so,
Michael Heck. And I think that's a great matchup. So I'm not going to disagree with that. Loved how Bilal looked tonight. I was a little disappointed in Lyman Good's performance. I was kind of using the same small cage theory that I used for Josh Emmett, because I had also picked Lyman Good. And I was disappointed that he didn't get those hands going until later. On the other hand, I'm not the one in there with Bilal Muhammad getting repeatedly jabbed in the face and punched from every conceivable angle. So take my criticism with that with a grain of salt, Lyman.
So EKC, what do you think? What's next for Bilal Muhammad?
Oh, Muhammad, either Ponzinibbio, if he's still in the UFC, I have no idea. And Magny, he's just kind of just building his way up. I think there's no real got to fight this guy for Muhammad right now. But every once in a while you watch those, you know, you watch enough fights and sometimes you watch something totally different. And at least one person agreed with me. Not that I thought Good won the fight like dominantly or like 100% he won, but I thought those first two rounds were super close between him and Muhammad. And the last round to me clearly was Good. That was the most dominant round of the three rounds. So like, I know Muhammad won, but I thought Lyman Good. I thought that was actually the best Lyman Good we've seen in the UFC. So unfortunately, he didn't get the win, but especially that third round, like
Muhammad is hard to figure out. That's the thing is, I think I just thought Good would figure him out sooner, but it definitely took a while. Watching that fight, Muhammad is not an easy guy to hit. He has his own power. You know, I mean, I know Good had the power advantage here, but Muhammad can definitely bang. So I want to see a little more from Good, but I think you're right. It was a good performance for sure.
And by the way, feel free, throw your comments, questions. We're here to talk with you guys as well. UFC on ESPN 11. Oh, do we have something coming up?
Oh no, no. Just go through the fights real quick, then we'll hit some questions. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Jim Miller. We got to talk about Jim Miller.
Do we have to? What did he really do?
Of course.
What did he really A-10? Do tonight,
we
Mike?
We got to talk.
Is that a new nickname? Is that a new nickname?
No, it's old.
A-10?
I always thought his nickname.
It's never used.
Okay.
It's never used. But it is. He's had it for a while.
Okay. I don't approve of that. But
what a performance!
Awesome armbar. Oh my God, that armbar was just. That was MMA experience. That wasn't like you really, like that position they're in. Like you can kind of train for that, but that's just years of fighting at a super high level. And Roosevelt just not having that experience, honestly. And I was picking Roosevelt in this fight. I thought this is one of those. Okay, this is a new contender type of fight. You know, beat at the vet, but nope, I was wrong. Jim Miller, man, anti Lyme disease. Jim Miller is he's a. He's a badass.
Now he wants to go to Fight Island. You got to respect that.
Yeah,
he just wants to keep going. He just wants to keep rolling. He's unbelievable.
I also picked Roberts. I think Roberts became a very trendy pick this week. I think I saw someone say there's a lot of movement on the line for Roberts Miller in favor of Roberts. He became a bigger favorite before fight night. And in my classic fight prediction style, I said all the reasons why Jim Miller would win and then picked Roberts. And it was really just saying Roberts, if he's going to go to the ground with Miller, needs to hurt him on the, like, it has to be one of those, like, knock him down first and then go to the ground and, you know, ground and pound thing. Don't just try and grapple with Jim Miller. That's insane. Sure enough, it was Miller who initiated the grappling, but Roberts should have been in emergency. I got to get out of here mode as soon as that happened. Instead, he probably lingered in that position too long. And by the way, too long with a grappler of Jim Miller's level is like half a second. If you're in there for half a second, he's going to get you. And sure enough, threw up that arm bar. It's just a classic, classic move. What a phenomenal fighter this guy is. And he got the heat, you know, took out a guy with a lot less experience.
Red Pill says, expected a little more from Roosevelt, maybe too quick a turnaround.
Big weight cut. I think it's more about the weight cut.
Sure.
Because he's like, he cut back down 55 back-to-back weeks, and he talks about, no, these weight cuts aren't easy. So I don't think that changes the fight, but I'm sure that didn't help.
Yeah. What's next for Jim Miller, AK? Because I have one. I think I have the perfect one, but you go.
The march, well, I mean, gosh, he just wants to continue that march to 40 UFC fights. This was number 35 today, I believe, which is insane. That's way more fights than most people have in their MMA careers, much less in the UFC. 21 out of 35, 21 wins. That's not bad. That's really not bad. Okay, Mike, I don't know if you tweeted this earlier. I didn't see it. Where does Jim Miller go? I'd like to see a matchup with, and I don't know if this is good for the guy I'm saying, but I think Beneil Dariush should be interesting just for the grappling aspect. I think it'd be so much fun. I usually tell, I'm just kind of looking at my list, my secret internal rank. Yeah, this is my secret internal rankings here. Diego Fajeda, oh, he's in the top 10, though. He's not going to want to go back and fight Jim Miller. Bobby Green? No, that's just gonna be random. I don't know.
Bobby Green's next fight
set. My first suggestion. I think Dariush should be a fun one. I don't know if Dariush should want to take that, but I'd like to see that fight.
Here's mine. It's a guy who fought Beneil Dariush. Jim Miller versus Alexander Hernandez.
Oh.
I like it. I approve.
I think it's perfect.
Why another young gunner, Michael?
Who else is he gonna fight?
There's like a lot of veterans, a lot of people his age.
Roosevelt Roberts was getting up there. He's starting to slowly climb. So Jim Miller's a guy that it's kind of like a test. He's not a gatekeeper.
No, there's nobody like him. There's nobody like him. So it's impossible to classify him. Nobody has his resume.
Yeah. But Hernandez, I think it's a good fight. Like, I think it's a good one. We can see Hernandez on the ground. You know, Hernandez may have the advantage in the stand-up, could be, you know, a win to get him back up there as well. And Jim Miller could just continue to impress everybody if he beats a guy like Hernandez. So I think it's a good matchup. Hernandez is probably like top 20, top 23, 24, 25 in that neck of the woods. I think that's like right around where Jim Miller is right now in that weight division.
What about Jim Miller versus Gregor Gillespie?
I was just looking at
Ooh,
that.
That's a good one, too.
It's a very high jump for Jim Miller, but yeah, obviously the style.
But Jim Miller used to be that high. I mean, he used to be, you know, and maybe this new Jim Miller, and this, you know, parasite-free Jim Miller. You know, is it a parasite?
I'm not a doctor.
Well, I know you get bit by a tick. He is anti-tick. You know, but this is like, he's been talking about this a lot. Like, he's like, I'm a different fighter now. Like, he's like, my body's like, I don't have. You may think I have wear and tear, but I feel fresh. I don't think Jim Miller is ever going to be a constant top 10 guy anymore, but I think anyone in the top 15, he's a tough, fun, challenging fight for a lot of people. So,
yeah, he has the name and the resume that you could put him up with almost anyone, and no one's going to say, oh, that Jim Miller doesn't deserve that fight. It's like, no, he's Jim Miller. He's been around forever. He's fought so many top 10 guys that you're right. Putting him in there with another one after a win like that, I don't think anyone would complain too much.
Yeah, when has anybody seen Jim Miller, like a Jim Miller fight announced, and they're like, ugh, this matchup sucks? No, never. You never hear that. Yeah. It doesn't matter. Like, Roosevelt Roberts, most people are probably like, ugh, I don't know. But they're like, ooh, this is a good one. Like, doesn't matter who they match him up with. You want to watch it because he's Jim Miller. Jim freaking Miller.
Yeah, that's a much better nickname. Freaking. Miller.
Yeah,
than
Jim Freaking Miller.
Yeah, I like that. I'm gonna call up Wikipedia and change it.
There you go. Bobby Green gets a win over Clay Guida in a very bizarre, weird, awesome fight, just like everything we could hope for. Tisha Torres beats Brianna Van Buren. Marc-Andre Barrio gets a win.
Tisha Torres in the small cage. Fireworks.
Fire.
It's where this fight was meant to happen.
Yeah. Do not ever put Tisha in the big cage because she is just there's too much room for her to kind of bounce around. Small cage, like boom, just lightning. As like has Dominic Cruz. She fights like Tisha Torres fights as if she's a little tornado.
Very, very good.
I was like, good.
Dominic Cruz dropped a big fat what the heck during the co-main event too.
Yeah, shout out for the show. Awesome. Nice. Thank you, Dominic. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Former guest. Courtney Casey versus Jillian Robertson. Jillian Robertson with a nice submission win. She looked pretty fantastic.
Yes, Canadian content. You also meant you were about to mention Marc-Andre Barrio before, picking up a much needed UFC when he was big prospect coming out of here. 0-3 to start his UFC career. It was definitely facing Piotrka. Piotrka. Piotrka, thank you. Who started off 2-0 in the UFC and then lost 3 straight. So this was essentially, as crude as it sounds, loser leaves town. So congrats to Marc-Andre for getting that win. And also, like as you were saying, Jillian Robertson, Canada, baby.
Yes, big night for Canada. Because someone put it up on Twitter that Jillian Robertson was trying to break the curse of Canadian fighters in the UFC Apex. Hadn't happened. We hadn't had one single Canadian fighter win in the Apex, even on the Contender Series. So there you go. Congratulations to those two for getting it done.
Wait, that curse was like only like, what, like 6 months? How long is that?
We're approaching a year, Casey.
Okay, all right. Yeah,
Contender Series is like it has been going on for what, like 2 years? Apex.
Apex.
You're right.
Pay attention, okay?
Although I don't know if a Canadian's ever, I don't think a Canadian's won on the Contender Series at all.
Nope. No, he was counting that as well, yeah.
Yeah, I forget. Yeah, there's one who got in there and lost like right away. I forget his name. He got start. I want to say I don't remember. We'll move on. Justin James, awesome debut. Did what he needed to do. Just went out there and went blitz mode and got the job done. But you know what? We're going to talk about a fight that got underappreciated since it was booked. And even tonight, they're talking about they're previewing the card and they're like, "Oh, we got this great stacked preliminary card. It's going to start with this fight." And then they just continue to skip over it. Lauren Murphy versus Roxanne Modafferi. Huge fight at women's 125. No love at all.
No post-fight interview.
Oh. And Lauren Murphy gets another big win. Clear win for Lauren Murphy. Roxanne Modafferi. What are you going to say, Alex?
I think Murphy did get a post-fight interview, just for the record. I believe she did. Yes.
From Anik?
I believe she did.
Nah, bro.
No, she didn't.
Nah, bro. I was waiting for it. I was like, okay, is she going to call out Valentina? What's going on? Nothing.
She called out Cynthia Calvillo in the scrum, which is the fight to make. There's no other fight.
I stand by my statement. I'm not crazy. I saw. I know what I saw. I stand by my statement. I have no proof. They definitely had no Tisha Torres. That was infuriating.
There was no Lauren Murphy interview. There wasn't. Like on ESPN Plus, there definitely wasn't.
Well, maybe it was a TSN exclusive. Again, that's the kind of quality content we get up here in Canada. Okay, I'm sorry. So I think we actually did get one on TSN. I guess you missed out.
Oh, good.
It was incredible.
Yes.
tell us more about it.
What did she say?
You know, it was really not enough time for that, guys. I think we just got to move on. Let's just move on to the next. What were you saying, Mike? I think we're moving on to the next fight, I believe.
Shout out MMA fighting.
Definitely not. But that I definitely would have remembered if she had done that. No, definitely not. We should say also, Murphy won. Great performance by her. Yeah. She's moving up those rankings, you know, those flyweight rankings. But poor, we were saying the fight being overlooked. Roxanne, who just coming off that win over Macy Barber, who's getting so much publicity from the UFC. I believe she's been on main cards already. And it's fine. Macy's a great prospect. But for Modafferi to beat her convincingly and they get bumped down to this such a low spot on this card, a stacked card, but still, it's just the optics are so bad.
It can't be the second fight of the night. It can't be, especially when you're starting a fight card at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So you're expecting, and I remember Aaron Bronsetter, who everyone thought beat Jose Youngs on Between the Links. He said, a placement on the card doesn't matter. The UFC's just, they're sprinkling things around so everyone sticks around from beginning to end. You expect somebody in California that is at a barbecue having the time of their lives to be like, oh, it's 2 o'clock. I need to go home and watch Lauren and watch these fights. I don't want to miss Lauren Murphy versus Roxanne Modafferi. Come on, dude. At least put it in that like featured prelim spot or somewhere up there. Open up that main card, whatever. They deserve better than that. But Lauren versus Calvillo, Craig Barn is the fight to make. Although I will throw this out there. Lauren Murphy versus Jessica Eye, I don't hate that fight either. There's some heat that has gone on for years between those two.
I like that fight better. So, I like that fight better.
Yeah, but I think if we're looking at Calvillo as like next in line, and we have to give her like a contender fight, like winner moves on to fight the winner of Valentina and JoJo, it's got to be Lauren Murphy. So it just depends on how they look at it. That's what we got to do. But I do want to see Lauren Murphy versus Jessica Eye at some point.
You mentioned it, and I was like, I just assumed that fight had happened, but I guess it has not happened before. So I'm for sure that's a good matchup.
But I know Lauren Murphy would have some hesitation, not because she doesn't think she could beat Jessica Eye, but she'd be afraid that Jessica would miss weight again. And Lauren's had to deal with that. Roxanne's had to deal with that a lot. So that's something that both of those women preach about. And, you know, that's why they were excited to fight each other, because they knew they were both going to make weight. So. And then Austin Hubbard with a nice win over the newcomer.
Are we going to talk about that?
I think we got to talk about this.
We ready?
Go ahead.
I mean, I think it's one of the reasons why, you know, I'd love to talk about some of the other prelims more, but I think there's a reason we kind of carved out some time for this. I'm sure most people, well, I always say most people, not everyone might have seen this, but they've at least seen the story by now that Max Roscoff, UFC newcomer, taking this fight on, I believe, 6 days' notice.
Very short notice.
Yeah, it was really, really, really taking a beating near the end of the second round from Austin Hubbard, a much more experienced opponent.
He's a 5-0 fighter, only 5 professional fights, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, and the broadcast gets right in there, right into Roscoff's corner, and you hear him just go, call it. And it's a little unclear. I'm watching the broadcast, and I'm looking, call it, okay. I'm like, well, I'm not exactly sure what he's saying, but he repeats call it. He's at least 7 or 8 times. And then you can definitely hear his corner kind of protesting his sentiment and saying something to the effect of, no, you got to get out there 5 more minutes, give it all you got.
You're a champion.
Yeah, you're a champion. Definitely saying no. I believe 1 or 2 times I said no, no, as in we're just not going to call it. And thankfully the referee and the ringside physician stepped in and just straight up asked Roscoff, do you want to continue? And he stuck to his guns. No, I want out. And the fight was waved off there, but it was called like a kind of a doctor stoppage or from the doctor's, you know, advice, the fight was stopped. But that really wasn't it. It was really just Roscoff saying, I'm done. And of course, I understand there's a lot of controversy, which is, I guess, why we're talking about it now. I'm glad he knew he was done and the fight was stopped. But I don't know what you guys think.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough conversation to have because, one, I'm not a fighter, and two, I'm not a coach nor a corner man. So I understand that fighters sometimes get in these positions. Like Robert Drysdale has made some comments about this, saying like, listen, I'm trying to fire up my fighter. Like, I know him. I know him a lot better than you guys do. And sometimes you just need that verbal kick in the ass. And that's what he tried to give him. Max wanted nothing to do with it. So eventually you get to a point where you realize like, all right, it's not happening. Let's just call it. But Max just did it himself, which, you know, you can't really get mad at him for that. And I don't think Robert Drysdale deserves a ton of criticism for trying to get his fighter back in there. At least, I mean, but to your point, Alex, because again, I was watching ESPN Plus. I didn't see, they went to commercial between rounds. So we didn't catch it. I didn't catch that conversation until like they got back from break and they're like, this just happened moments ago. And then we saw Max call it himself. So I didn't even see the rest of that conversation. So I may not be even the person to answer this.
You guys,
what did you think of it?
You guys didn't get the Anik Murphy interview or the live corner. Man, that ESPN
Plus. I gotta move to Canada.
That ESPN Plus is a jip.
Yeah, $4.99, and I just kept getting the same Liberty, 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 Liberty all night long. Casey, what did you think of how that first fight played out?
How do you say Max's last name? So he's
Roscoff.
Roscoff. I thought Roscoff. I thought Roscoff looked great in the first round. He clearly is a jiu-jitsu guy, and he was going for those leg locks. But obviously, he doesn't have the full. He just doesn't have enough weapons to beat Hubbard. When that second round ended, you were like, "Dude, if this guy comes out for that third round, he is going to get knocked out bad." Like, he was getting just hit clean in that end of that second round. For the last like 45 seconds, Max had nothing. Hubbard was just teeing off on him. It was just nothing there. And, like, say you want to compare this to the Raquel Pennington situation for when she came out for round five, when she said she was done. And Mark Montoya, Pennington's corner?
I don't remember what was the time.
Was it Mark Montoya?
No, I might have that mixed up. Sorry.
I forget who it was.
But her corner, because Raquel said, like, I'm basically to something, I'm done. And the corner's like, no, you're blah, blah, blah. You're going to go out there. And she's like, okay. And she went out there. Max, this was not a title fight. This is like first fight in the UFC. You came in on basically like 15 minutes notice. You know, you're expected to lose this fight, to be honest. You know, like, and the fact that he said call it, he had to whisper call out 9 times to Robert Drysdale. That's a sign, bro. Like it's okay. And like that's why we have the towel, because like the refs want the corners to tell to go, hey, this guy, our guy's done. They don't want to. It's not cool to put your fighter in that position to he himself say I quit. That's kind of the corner's job. They're like, dude, my guy wants to fight, but I'm not gonna let you fight. You see him boxing all the time, you know, like I'm gonna give you like one more round. If you don't punch back, I'm calling the fight. You know, their own corner. So the corners are saving the fighters, and that's what the corner should have done. Like, did Robert Drysdale really think that Max had enough in him to defeat Hubbard in that third round? I think that's even crazier, you know. So And I'm not saying Robert Drysdale is a bad coach. I'm just saying he made a mistake. That's all. He made a mistake, and yeah, that's about it. And but big props to ESPN for the great coverage and providing that for us and stuff. Mm-hmm. So because that's, you know, we see these fights and everything. These are just, you know, two gladiators going at it. But that's just kind of, that's all BS. These are just two dudes who are just trying to make a dream come true. You know, that's what it is. Like, these guys, like, they have roommates. You know, it's not like they're these big millionaire fighters. They're just two dudes that have roommates. They have second jobs. You know, this isn't even their primary living. And for a guy like Max, yeah, just, dude, come on, Mr. Drysdale. He was done.
Yeah. It is the corner's job, not just to protect the fighter's health, but to protect their reputations. That was one of the real tragedies here was, they left him alone, essentially, to make that call. You know, he's alone now. All this talk, all these trolls that are coming out now and criticizing Max and calling me a quitter, it's all targeted at him because they know that his corner, they weren't with him. They didn't have his back on this decision. They said, all right, they essentially said, Max, do you want to quit? That's on you. Okay, I don't mean to put words in Robert Drysdale's mouth, and I don't want to throw Robert Drysdale too much under the bus. He's been in combat sports for a long time, you know, a great grappler, a brief MMA career. He knows more about fighting than, of course, any of us ever will. But I think it's just common sense to see that it wasn't there. Now, I'm glad you brought up the Pennington thing, because afterwards, you know, she said she was fine with it. She did not make any negative comments on her corner. She said, you know what, it's what I would have wanted anyway, even though it ended so poorly.
Yeah.
Ross Goff, we haven't heard from yet. His manager, Brian Butler, did give a statement to ESPN saying Max was suffering from fatigue, which is backing up what Drysdale said. Drysdale was saying that he was tired, not hurt, which, by the way, can be just as bad.
Dude, how you get the biggest knockouts. Those are dangerous. Like, your jaw's hanging. His body,
he might have just collapsed out there. Can you imagine just going for like some Imanari roll and just not getting back up, just being like, I'm done. Like, how embarrassing would that have been? Yeah. And then having to quit mid-round and just be like, you know, I'm just not getting up. I'm not getting up. Like a Nick Serra.
I was going to say Nick Serra.
I'm done. I'm not getting up. But that would have been even worse, right? And plus, you're at the possibility of just getting punched more and getting knocked out. But yes, Brian Butler said fatigue, the short notice weight cut. He had a turf toe injury, which of course was just all sorts of discomfort. So that's a statement from the management so far, that he just needs time to heal up. And it was all these things added up, not just, you know, not just necessarily what we saw on screen. So a lot of stuff going on. I do agree. I hope Drysdale would also take this as a learning experience. We'll see. We'll see, I think, in the coming weeks, statements from Drysdale and Roscoff and everyone else.
And hopefully Max can bounce back from this, because he was a highly touted prospect coming in. And this is one of the things people were concerned about. Like,
short notice.
If you go in there and just get starched by a guy like Austin Hubbard, I mean, that just stunts you in a big way. And this one just did not go his way in a lot of different ways. Contender Series would have been a perfect spot for him just to slowly build him up. But again, I mean, look at Justin James. He comes in on like 2 days' notice and knocks out Frank Camacho. So, I mean, each story is different. Each individual is different. It is what it is. But, you know, Justin has a ton of experience, a ton of fights. Max has 5 pro fights. Yeah. So
Max only has now one loss and no concussions, no major head trauma. So, like, did anyone think that Max was going to come back and win that third round? That's the thing.
No, he looked dejected at the end of the first because he couldn't get the submission.
Yeah, and like
Hubbard looked good though. We got to give him some credit. He's come a long way. His striking was great. Normally he's like he just gets right after you and is very very aggressive, but he was he stayed back. He was patient, landed his shots effectively, and you know I give Max a lot of credit too. He took some big ones and was able to. I mean he didn't look pretty at the end of the second round, but he took some big shots and. You know, obviously he didn't want to keep going, but here we are.
This isn't about toughness. You have to know when it's just not your day. You know, this kid showed self-awareness. He's the youngest fighter on the card, 25 years old. He showed self-awareness. Okay. And I know that's not an aspect that's necessarily valued at this level of MMA. So, you know, whatever, I don't know if that means for people, but if he really felt like his body could not continue, why would you even risk going out there? I'm sorry. There's going out in your shield and they're just being flat out dumb. So Max was not dumb tonight, and I think we should applaud that.
Gilbert Durinho Burns. I like both guys. I'm in Burgos, the real main event. Yep. Fire, 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 fire. So, yeah, let's turn it over to questions and that stuff the rest of the way. If we could.
You know I want to talk about this. I like this. Oops.
Julie Avila. Okay, so who do I have to talk to get Rainbow Walkout gear? Very nice.
I like the Rainbow Walkout gear. And, hey, Curtis Blaze, main eventer, walking out with the pride colors. Good on him.
I will say, I'm not going to say it out loud. I'm not going to. But Julie Avila had, like, the most shocking tweet of the night. Just go to her account.
Well, we can at least reference what there was a low blow. In the Pennington-Renault fight, okay, and someone asked, I believe it was Mookie Alexander from Bloody Elbow, asked, what do we call a male when that happens, a low blow, what do you call the female version of something? Her response cannot be said on air right now, though she did also say, these broads are swinging OGs right in the baby maker, so Julie Avila continuing to be a solid quote.
Yes, she is. What else we got?
Oh, no, that was just from yesterday. Sorry. Oops. Sorry. Go away, screen.
So much going on here.
Yeah, too many screens opened up. Sorry.
A big shout out to Anthony Smith as well for joining us. It was, what a day.
Just want to throw this one
There's the Curtis Blades tweet from yesterday. He pretty much called it. Because I fully intended to ragdoll my opponent. Just figured I'd let you all know ahead of time. That's such a savage tweet.
I loved That was good. Yeah, that was good. Good job, Curtis.
Took him down like 3 seconds into the fight. It was crazy.
I think that's the kind of thing that's rubbed the big boss the wrong way.
He's not getting. Why is the big boss not getting it? That was more salesmanship for the whole week in that one tweet, man.
Jeez. I think he's saying he didn't live up to the salesmanship. I think he doesn't. You know, I think if he had actually ragdolled him and like been like kind of throwing him around for 25 minutes, it just looked bad at the end. That interview, someone said that's going to be. I think a guest of the A side we recently had, Sean Ross Sapp, Fightful.com, said, "Boy, that post fight interview is going to be a meme because poor Curtis Blaydes. I wish he didn't have to do the post fight. He was clearly exhausted." But I mean, his mouth was busted open. He was wobbly. He just needed air. He just needed to take a break, you know, after 25 tough minutes. And unfortunately, he's out there on national television. It's like Nixon, you know, when the flop sweat, you know, it's a clip that's never going to go away. So unfortunately, I think Curtis Blaydes is kind of being a little wobbly post fight. They're going to joke about it stuff.
But I will say that's kind of BS too to criticize Blaydes for that because. That's how you should fight. When those last 10 seconds of that round, 30 seconds of that round, if you got any energy left, you put it out there. So when that final 25 minute, after the fifth round, that bell rings, you should have zero in the gas tank. That means you worked your cardio perfect for 5 rounds. So if you still have energy after 25 minutes, you actually didn't fight hard enough. So that's very. He should be exhausted, but I didn't see the interviews. I didn't know how bad it looked though.
And look, let's be fair here. Unless Curtis Blaydes like did a moonsault off the top of the cage and finished
there was nothing.
Alexander Volkov in the first round, there's no way you were gonna take over what the co-main event delivered. It was like WrestleMania 18 when Hogan rock wrestled and tore the house down, and then poor Triple H and Chris Jericho had to wrestle. And it was, and if you go back and watch it by itself, it's a pretty darn good match, but nobody cared because Hogan Rock was so good. That's basically the position they were in tonight. You know, I don't think Curtis Blades like blew the doors off anything tonight by any stretch, but he went out there and won. And even if he finished the fight in the fourth round, we'd still be talking about the co-main event.
This is Izzy versus Romero in a sense.
Yeah, well, kind of. Well, there's more action in this fight.
Well, who came right before that? No, that was like the fight of the year. So no matter, that's what I mean. No matter what happened to Izzy versus Romero, it like even Holloway, even Holloway versus Poirier, that came after
Gastelum Izzy,
and like and that was an amazing fight, and people don't even consider that one of the best fights of the year because I just saw the best fight of the year right 10 minutes before that, so it was an unfortunate just.
I was a happy camper that night watching that Atlanta card. Good Lord, those two fights back-to-back, unreal. That's Zagano. Blades definitely deserves a title shot, and I'm first in line.
Yep.
What else we got?
Oh, we got one more. Hold on, one more from Twitter.
He's...
Yeah, I like this one.
Blades would have way more KOs if UFC had Pride rules. True story, Angela Hill.
Yeah. He'd be driving knees into people's domes, like, I mean, he'd be stomping people. I could see him throwing the occasional soccer kick.
Oh, the way he gets it back and just stays on the side, if he can start throwing knees to the head, without a doubt, like Blades would be much. I don't know how well he would do in a ring because he presses so many people against the cage, but in a cage with Pride rolls, knees on the ground, he'll be a much more dangerous fighter, much more dangerous.
He landed about 100 knees to the derriere while he had Volkov on the ground.
All right, let's go to some YouTube comments.
Let's hear from
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear, indeed.
Just kidding. Love you guys. I love our YouTube viewers.
So, we're guys, ask some more questions. Sorry, because I know it's so backed up. Here we go. Ask me a question.
I want to talk about Justin James while we're searching. He was, I like Frank Camacho a lot. This just seemed like a rough week for him. Losing a guy opponent in Favola, and then he missed weight, of course. And facing a guy like James, who I knew stylistically was going to come at him. I didn't know if I quite expected him to rush him like he did, but I mean that was the perfect game plan, as they kept saying on the commentary. It was just like, you know what, you're coming in on 2 days' notice. He was on 2 days' notice, right? Yeah. Just go for it. And I also like what they said, that Camacho looked like he was coming out wanting to fight a more technical fight, which is not what he does. I think we've both spoken to Frank Favre before in the past, and he said, my corner always has to tell me not to go out there and bang. My instinct is to bang. So it looked like tonight he picked the wrong night to kind of try to be more tactical, and he faced a guy who was going to go in there and swing with him, and maybe if Camacho had fought his usual way, he would have got the knockout. But it just wasn't Frank's week. I hope he gets another chance, but he has had trouble making weight, and he's just really small for 170. So I'm not sure what's going for him, but really excited for him.
Does Max's corner get suspended? Ariel Helwani reported that Bob Bennett said they will investigate why Max stopped the fight himself. Again, I kind of gave my take on it, but I also didn't know the whole story because watching it on ESPN Plus, I didn't get to hear the entire conversation. All I saw was Drysdale saying, come on, you're not hurt, you can do this. And then they cut to Max stopping the fight. So I didn't see the whole thing. What do you think? Does Max's corner get suspended? Does Drysdale get suspended? I don't know.
I'd be shocked. Doubt it. I'd be really surprised.
Has this ever happened, the corner being suspended like that for basically disobeying your fighter? Or I don't know.
This would definitely set a precedent.
Yeah, I don't think it's suspension. I think it's just
you'd really have to be able to prove like negligence. Don't get me wrong, of course, watching in the moment, I was definitely outraged, if you want to, for lack of a better word. And I was like, oh man, what is the corner doing? And I know a lot of people were, social media reaction, of course, most people were like, what is this? Most people who heard it live were like, whoa, what is going on? Why are they sending him out again? But I don't think you'd be able to prove negligence. I think, again, I do think Drysdale, as he's kind of said in his initial comments so far to ESPN, he said, again, I'm trying to motivate my guy. And I think that, right or wrong, that really was what he thought, and I don't think he thought that Max was in any immediate danger. Again, I don't know if I agree with that, but he's in the cage with him. He's making the call. I really don't know if you could call this like gross negligence based on what happened there. Though I am a little teaser. I am writing something, and that's going to have a little more perspective on it.
So we can't confirm this, but people are saying that I guess NSAC said they are investigating it. So this is confirmed. Mm-hmm. This is what we're hearing. So
yes.
Yeah. Who knows what's going to happen, but they'll look at it. I think he'll probably just get like a warning perhaps, but I don't think they're going to suspend him. I'd be shocked.
I don't really think that's necessary to suspension. I think,
yeah.
I also think we'll have a statement from official statement from Roscoff at some point. That'll, you know, I think he'll. I don't know if he'll kind of say the same thing that Pennington said in the Nunez fight, but something to the effect of like, of course, you know, I don't blame my corner and whatever. You know, we talk about it after, and this is part of the plan. And I'm glad they tried to motivate me. Blah blah. I'm sure we'll see some comment like that, and that will kind of, you know, that'll be the end of the issue.
Why not discuss the Athletic Commission investigation? We just did. We've done it.
Well, for I was talking about, I guess ESPN had it on the ticker, so I'm just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. It's gonna be interesting to see how that plays out. Austin Hubbard had some interesting things to say too. Basically saying, I kind of felt bad. He shouldn't have been there. You know, but what's he supposed to do? That's kind of the long and short of it.
He took care of business.
Tisha did enough to save her job. Brianna needed the L to grow as a fighter in the UFC. Completely agree. Tisha looked great. And let's not count Tisha out completely, okay? Look at the losses she's had. They're all murderers. Like, every single fighter that she lost to on that four-fight winning streak, from Joanna to Zhang Weili. I mean, Marina Rodriguez.
Andrade. That's three UFC champions. That's three UFC champions in that list of opponents.
And Brianna was like probably the highest one of the outside, maybe Suarez, maybe the highest level prospect out there, and she defeated her, and it was an excellent fight. So
yeah, I didn't do very well in my picks tonight. I did pick Tisha Torres to win by decision. So I was good with that one. And this is no disrespect to Brianna. I think Brianna is super talented and has a very bright future ahead of her, but it's just a tough matchup. It's a vet, the small cage factored into the pick as well, and the fact that Tisha's just been in there with like the very best in the world consistently, like every time she fights. And Liviana Souza is very tough, and that was a very impressive win for Brianna. And the Phoenix series night, that was impressive as well. But sometimes you gotta get in there, you gotta take that kind of vet L, and you'll grow from it and get better. And this is that lesson for Brianna Van Buren, and I have no doubt that she's going to come back better than ever. And she'll take this loss, and she'll learn a ton from it. And she'll come back, and we'll see her, you know, potentially fighting for a title in the next few years. That's how good I think she is.
We definitely had some instances tonight where experience reigned. Jim Miller, Tisha Torres, Austin Hubbard. Experience matters, guys. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's some you know, white hot blue chip prospects out there that can come in and in their second or third fight take out like a, you know, a 15 fight UFC veteran, but that's the exception, not the rule. You know, we shouldn't be expecting that. So nothing bad at all to say about Brianna Van Buren. Yeah, she's still a top flight prospect and coming from a great camp, and only big things ahead for her in the future.
And I mean, if Tisha went out and got 30-20-25 on three judges' scorecards, yeah, I could see them. But if she lost like a split decision to Brianna Van Buren, I don't think the UFC was going to cut her. I just don't. Like, it's not like she's getting destroyed in all of these fights. She's competitive in pretty much all of them. She just wasn't winning. There's a difference between just going out there and getting smashed and finished three consecutive fights than losing four decisions to just a murderer's row of fighters. So, and I think the UFC likes her. I think they like Tisha. I think they like the way she fights. She's never in a bad one. So it's hard to release her, especially in a division like that, when you have all these young up-and-coming fighters. She still would serve a purpose, is what I'm trying to say.
A great moment for her in Pennington as well. They said this, I think this was the third time that actually fought in the same card, but the first time since they became a couple. So, you know, obviously that's a completely different dynamic. Unfortunately, Tisha was not able to be in the building. Because, you know, they've got very strict COVID-19 protocol. So as soon as her fight was done, it was off to the hotel room. I think I saw some report that she did try and re-enter. But, you know, they said, hey, sorry, we can't. You got to go to the hotel room. So they're sticking to their guns on this. And I applaud that. Now, if we can just get a mask on friggin' Dana White, you know, then maybe What is that? What is it? I mean, we know what it is, but I'm just saying, hey, come on. If we're going to be strict and not allow Tisha back in, can we try and enforce all these rules, please? But, hey, at least you got to watch Raquel get a win, and that's all that matters to her, I bet.
Hey, don't be talking about my dad like that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
My older brother, whatever.
or you.
You. Or me. Wait, actually, we're now starting to get questions about next.
Not a real question.
Okay, that's not.
That's not a real question.
Will Poirier versus Hooker be exciting or another snoozer of a main event? I can't believe this is a question.
Yeah, it's going to be terrible. We all know that. Like, why would you even ask?
The worst fight ever. I can't wait for that fight.
A snoozer of the main event? Do these people not appreciate world-class wrestling? Oh my goodness. This is mixed martial arts. If you want to watch kickboxing, go watch Glory. Go watch K1 reruns. This is mixed martial arts. If you can't stop a takedown, get out.
Chuck DLC, you blew my mind with this question. What is there to say? It's going to be a great fight. I mean, the only way it couldn't be exciting is if it's like a first round knockout or something, which again is exciting in a different
way.
But if this goes 3, 4, 5 rounds, of course it's going to be a great fight. These aren't the kind of guys who can ever, as skilled as they are, as technical as they are, you're never going to see them in a fight where they're not active, where there's not a lot of volume. It just doesn't happen with Poirier Hooker. So, no, it's going to be a great fight. People, just be optimistic about it. Great booking, great main event.
Yeah, I was looking to see what the co-main event was. Mike Perry versus Mickey Gall is the co-main event. So it's not Shane Burgos versus Josh Emmett, but it is an interesting one. But Poirier Hooker, that's going to be a great fight. It'd be a huge win for Dan Hooker if he could beat Dustin Poirier. Jackson Bass, what do you think of people comparing Blades to Khabib? I don't agree. Does anybody agree with that? I wouldn't compare him to Khabib.
I mean, Casey?
Khabib-ish, I mean, at best.
In the sense that, you know, 99% of the time, if they win their fights, it's going to be through the wrestling and ground and pound and top control. So, yeah, but that's a lot of guys. So, Khabib-esque, I think. Let's go Khabib-esque.
Ish.
Like, Khabib-ish.
Here's the difference between Khabib and Curtis Blades. Khabib could have done what Curtis Blades did in the first and second rounds, the whole fight. Just kept him on his back, but landing a lot of shots and making it very, very uncomfortable. Not that he didn't make things uncomfortable for Alexander Volkov, but Khabib's just a different animal. It's just a different guy.
A lot of people in the comments are kind of, whatever, Blades is boring. He just beat Volkov. Volkov had the highest takedown defense in the heavyweights in the roster right now, for sure. Volkov is very freaking good, you know, and that's why it was a tough fight, and that's why Blades barely made it out, just, you know, being able to walk because he's so tired holding that giant Russian man down. So
Volkov took him down.
That was crazy.
We didn't even talk about that.
That was crazy.
That's tough.
Yeah,
he's tough.
That was just screw this, I'm gonna take you down. But
That happened like the middle of the round, he could have done some serious damage. He was getting some punches in against the cage. Like, he was really hurt. That's kind of part where Blaze got busted up.
How about Volkov when he was on top of Blaze and he was kind of throwing those little shots under the arm? He was kind of telling her, hey, I think he's done, ref. I think he's done.
Oh, that was funny.
That was good.
Go to the ref. Come on, dude. Come on.
He's done.
If he got the right ref on the right night, I would have applauded. People would have screamed. I would have been applauding the whole time. Like, that is how you steal a fight. If he had gotten the stoppage there, I would have loved it.
Yeah,
Mario Yamasaki or Steve Mazzagatti were in the cage, there's a very good chance that fight would have been stopped. Very good chance.
Yeah, so I think because Volkov has fought a lot of his big fights overseas. He hasn't been a prime time fighter. And when he was a prime time fighter, you know, he was dominating Derek Lewis till he wasn't. You know, so that's the problem. I think for the most part, even the hardcore fans just don't know how good Volkov is. So so it was a very impressive performance. I really wonder how different this fight would have been in a big cage, though. I kind of haven't seen Volkov fight in a while, and I forgot how important his kicking game is. And like, dude, you can't throw a kick in that cage. The size of those guys and the takedown threat that Blades had. So it was always gonna be a tough night for Volkov.
So I mean, I think Volkov was a plus 330 underdog by the time the fight started. So I mean, there's a reason for that, and you kind of saw it on display for
He still won two rounds. It wasn't like
he did.
People were acting like he was blown out of the water. Like, I mean, if you looked at it right now in the hotel, I guarantee you Volkov looks like he won the fight. You know, like Volkov, I'm sure he's happy. He just, you know, not happy, not, but I'm sure he's healthy. He feels fine. But it's Blade still like, you know, because it's just. Yeah, but that's Blade's style. That's how he has to fight. So.
Right. Yeah, do you have any more?
Nah.
Next week's card looks pretty good. Yeah, I like it a lot. A lot of prospects. This is my kind of card. I feel like I'm going to come back and reclaim my title as the MMA Fighting Picks champion. Jordan Griffin's Yusuf Zalal just got added yesterday.
Yeah, Miranda Maverick.
Miranda Maverick's on the card. Yeah. Sean Woodson's back. That's a guy who's just beast at 145 fighting Kyle Nelson. Luis Pena versus Kama Worthy. That's a great fight. Tanner Bozier's back against Philippe Lins. We got Brendan Allen versus Kyle Daukaus, who makes his debut. He was on the Contender Series. Probably should have got a contract. Maurice Green versus John Vellante. That's just going to be wild. Gall versus Perry. I can't wait for their little face-off on Friday. And then Poirier versus Hooker in the main event before we head to Fight Island.
Oh, hold on. We didn't mention Ramiz. Did you mention Ramiz Brahimaj?
Oh, I forgot about that one.
So if you want to see the greatest, who was the fight against? He had, I might be getting mixed up with someone else. Either way, he is a good prospect, but I was thinking of him as, I thought he was involved in this like crazy highlight. I'm sorry, go on. You were saying Fight Island?
He was an LFA guy. He's an LFA.
Yes. And he is a very good prospect, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I do not
know. He is a very good prospect.
Yeah, next week.
And then we go to Fight Island. By the way, I kept seeing Fight Island commercials on the ESPN Plus broadcast, and they're still trying to sell these shirts like they're going to the tropical islands, and tropical face masks for Fight Island, and they're still showing promos of like water and waves going over the sands of beaches. It's hilarious. It's so hilarious. You told us where it is already. We know where it is. We're not in Costa Rica.
It's a little Firefest-esque, isn't it? It's hints of Firefest, except we already know the truth, and yet you're right. They're still trying to sell us this fantasy, and some people are still buying it, I guess. Otherwise, they wouldn't be. It's bizarre.
The four fight cards are awesome. They're all really good. There's some great fights, so I am excited. I'm not complaining that we have fights coming up. I still think it's hilarious that we're trying to.
I will complain about this Fight Island because. This Fight Island is apparently big enough to have the fights in the big cage, which we know sucks because we have a small cage and we know rules. Ugh! Why can't everything be my way?
God. I wonder if Dana got asked about that in the post-fight. I'll have to go back and watch
it. I think
Curtis Blades up there now saying, Curtis Blades, apparently what he's saying is, I am embracing being a heel now. You don't like what I do? Like to make you... Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to reach Twitter. Yeah, be the heel. Be it. Do all that. So
that's a hard role to play.
By the way, happy Father's Day to all my fellow dads out there. It is at least on the East Coast.
East Coast time.
And happy Father's Day to all the single moms.
And them too. Pulling double duty.
Absolutely. Yep.
I've seen that many, many times. So kudos to all of you as well. AK, any final thoughts on UFC on ESPN 11?
I'll say this, and I know people are gonna hate the sentiment and be like, oh, why? It's your job. I'll be happy to have a little break after next week. I think we get before Fight Island?
One, I think.
Well, I could use it anyway. Because,
July.
Again, kudos to the UFC staff, all those guys, and the fighters, of course, for putting these cards together. You guys are incredible, incredible human beings. And so hardworking, so kudos for that. But definitely, I'm starting to feel a little burnout, I will say, with all this hot UFC Apex action we've been getting. The fights have been very, very good for the most part, I should say. So this is certainly a spoiled man talking here. We've had some great cards, but I think next week's going to be a really good way to cap off sort of this run of UFC Apex shows before we get a little bit of a breather and then head to Fighter Fest or Fight Fest, whatever you want to call it, Fire Fest. sorry, All Elite Wrestling. That's right. AEW, so that's copyrighted, but hopefully what is not the Fire Fest of MMA, Yaz Island, which again, I know they've been to before, but now there's kind of this new arrangement, and I don't know, it's probably not as glamorous as people are hoping, but hopefully it'll be a good time anyway.
I hear the water park's closed, and that's like the best part of Abu Dhabi.
Oh
man, if you guys ever, if the world ever gets normal, and we can all you YouTube commenters want to say hi in real life, Let's talk about the water park in Yas Island. It is awesome.
I'm down.
Yeah, it's the best now. Water park I've ever been in my life. It's so cool. And there's no one there. It's just like three people. It's insane.
I guess the last thing I'll say is if you haven't checked out What the Heck this week, it's pretty darn good. And, you know, normally we do these What the Hecks, and then like 5 or 6 days later, we have a fight card, and then it's almost like it's irrelevant because the card, it was about the card that just happened. But it's all like most of these interviews are like future fights or like guys that are fighting next week or on Fight Island. So Jan, Edgar, Cater, Gall, Kama Worthy, Luis Pena, they're all there. And then Cynthia Calvillo. So we didn't even have anybody on this card tonight. Maybe we will for next week. So there you go. So go back and check that out. Some really good stuff from all those guys. But that's it. We're getting out of here. For AK Lee, EKC, I am Mike Heck. Thank you all for watching. Hope you guys enjoyed the card. And have a great rest of your weekend.
All right, I'm going to go play some Last of Us Part 2.
Oh, well.
Video games.
I heard that's an uplifting, fun time for all, so.
Yay!
Yes.
Spoiler.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.